Glad to have Brother Roger and Sister Pam Sadbury all the way from Bakersfield, California. They are former Bible school students, and they are in active ministry, pastor in Bakersfield, and we're privileged to have them with us. They are going to sing for us, and then Brother Roger is going to bring the word. I just decided to take advantage and take the whole day on. So, you folks, come on.
Step here and keep me in line.
Praise the Lord. What a privilege to be in the house of God with this wonderful people. I'm so glad that my mother-in-law and my son can be with us this morning. And when we emailed and told Brother Hawkins we were coming, he replied and said, "Can you sing and speak on Sunday morning?" And I said, "Well, that's an upgrade." But it really is an honor, you know, when you have the trust of God in people, especially pastors. And I'm not going to do anything like throw you out in left field or anything, preach some wild doctrine. But this morning, we have experienced something, not only in ministry, but in the natural. And, you know, you can get a topic and preach from that. You could just take a book and preach from that. You can get some kind of title and title your message and preach from that. But this morning, I just want to speak from my heart, because we've had experiences through the years, and the most recent experience has been like a bomb that went off, and I was released from my employment in the natural on May 26th. And it was just kind of a sudden thing, and I called Pam and I said, "Hey, I just got fired. You want to go on vacation?" So we literally, and I don't know if you've ever been in a place in your life where you've heard people talk about the peace that passes understanding. And you're like, really? You think? But they act like it. They're like they're fine, you know, because everybody's fine if you ask them, "How are you?" "I'm fine." And I wasn't fine. You know, I wasn't fine. But I had an instant peace that I just thought, "Lord, you may have just saved my life." Because when you're doing in ministry and working, and, you know, like when Paul, I don't know how he did it, and people always say, "I don't know how you did it," working and pastoring and calling and doing all kinds of things, you just think, "Wow, Lord, you are really smart for doing what you do." And so today, I just want to speak from my heart about hope. And, you know, when God does something like that, and I want to really go to Hebrews 6:19, and this will only take about an hour and a half. When you look at Scripture, and when, you know, we cut our teeth on the grace of God. We talk about the old days and the camp meetings that Tucum carry, and I remember listening as a little kid, and Brother Hawkins, with all you could see is arms and legs as he's preaching. It's just arms and legs. I thought he was like 18 feet tall. Just arms and legs. And he's just preaching like a house of fire. And I thought, "Lord, if my arms were ever long enough, I want to preach like that." And we were raised in Brother Astle's church in Rosemead. And he would take a word, one word, and it would be just expanded like you put yeast in it. And it just began to grow and grow and grow. And I thought, "Lord, I want to preach like that." And I was raised under, my Grandpa Schaefer's was pastor where we pastor now, and he was kind of a wild, charismatic Pentecostal grace guy in the 50s, kind of before his time. And I used to think, "Man, I want to preach like that." And then my dad pastored, and he was more of a teacher, reader, kind of take a chapter, and you knew if he said turn to Romans 12, he was going to read the whole chapter. And that's what you were going to get, was Romans 12. Very solid, very practical. We always called ourselves a practical church in Bakersfield. The church in Rosemead was the provisional church, and the church in San Diego was the prophetic church. And when we got together for fellowship, we always had kind of this blend that was always good. But then the Lord said, "No, you're going to preach like this. You're going to preach the way the Holy Spirit is working through Roger. Because what's in me by experience is different than what's in you and different than what's in our pastor." And so when you begin to speak from what you know, it makes a difference. When you begin to speak from the foundation that's been laid in your heart through the Word of God, and you begin to preach from your heart, it really makes a difference. That's what transforms. That's what changes. And you are not here this morning to not go away changed. Amen. And the Word of God will change your life. And when you hear about an experience, and I want to talk about some anchors that we have in the natural, because we all are anchored in something in the natural. You can call it a rudd if you want. I choose this morning to be nice and call it an anchor. You can be anchored in a lot of things, but I have found out through the years that my hope is anchored in Jesus Christ. But if it weren't for him, after three strokes and two neck surgeries, I don't think I would be here today if I wasn't anchored in him. And so today we can either accept the change and keep the charge, or we could just fall apart as if we had no hope. But hope today is where we live. And so the scripture talks a lot about hope and the hope that we have not only in Jesus coming for us, but the hope we have while we're waiting for him. Because you're going to need a dose of hope on Monday. Because there are some hopeless events that are happening in lives today. But we serve a God that's a God that is full of hope. And he is the one that we put our trust in this morning. And you can say amen. Is it okay if they say amen? You can say amen if you want. Because the word is powerful. Like Penny said this morning, she could have just kept going. That would have been okay. But the word of God is so powerful, and we want to respond to that, don't we? We want to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, to your word. Yes, Lord, to your way. So if we keep that charge like Moses did, we keep that charge like Paul did, and we keep that charge like he gave to Timothy, all I'm doing is passing a baton of God's word to you today so that you can go out and run this race. You can run, or you can run to win, or you can run to win Christ. You got the choice. And Jesus loves you, make good choices. That's what we tell our staff. Jesus loves you, make good choices. We have to make those kinds of choices. And we can either do that, accept the change that's coming or that is. How many have had a change in your life? My sister was talking about how not awful her life is, but things that had happened. And she went to a psychologist and they began to ask her about life events. Have you had a divorce? Yes. Have you had a death? Yes. Then her second husband died. Big event. And all these life events. And she said, you should just be a basket case. And she said, well, I would be, but I have a relationship with someone. And his name is Jesus. That's what changes everything. So when change in the natural comes, then we can accept and maintain the charge of God's word in our life. And that's how we keep going. We would be blithering idiots if we didn't have the Lord in our lives today. I'm speaking for myself. So sometimes God lifts the anchor in the natural so that we can move. God will lift the anchor of relationships in your life that may not be healthy so that you can just move on and you don't understand it. But that's an anchor that has been lifted. Sometimes God lifts the anchor of employment so you can just say, okay, Lord, we're moving on. We don't really know what we're doing, but we're moving on. And so we've been doing Faith Builders on Wednesday nights. And now, not that we never knew or walked by faith, but now we're going to get an opportunity to say, okay, Lord, you're going to teach us what we've been teaching. And it's not just a drive-by message. This is something real. It's not just a hit-and-run message. This is something we're living with. And when God begins to lift those anchors in our life, especially, and mostly the anchors that we have been so rooted in, the anchors of things, the anchors of relationships, the anchors of employment, God begins to lift those things, we still have an anchor. We still have an anchor, according to the word of God. So when he does that, we want to realize the anchor of our soul remains secure. We have a hope in him, according to Hebrews 6:19. Because he said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now, if you've ever felt like losing your mind, don't lose your mind. You have an anchor. If you've ever thought about your emotions just going wild, don't get wild with your emotions. You have an anchor. Now, the anchor of your natural mind can go bizarre. And the enemy can come in. That's why we have to maintain that word of life in our mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that renewal comes not by meditating, not by self-help books, but it comes by listening to the voice of the Spirit of God, maintaining that relationship with him. So if we have that, we have this hope. And my hope today is my anchor, because my hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope, obviously, today is not in my job. And I was never this guy that was, you know, just like, I'm the director of cardiology and I'm this and I'm way up here. I told my staff of 37 and my 28 cardiologists that everything I know is written on a 3x5 card in my back pocket. I wasn't that guy that was way up there. But then when God takes that anchor and lifts it, and you look at life and you think, Lord, what do you have? And that's where we are. That's where we are today. What do you have for us? There is something so great that God has in store. Now, the reason I know that is because my anchor is secure in Him. I'm not going to move any way near away from the Lord. I'm not going to move away from my hope in Him because of an anchor that's been lifted in the natural. Have you ever had an event in your life, and maybe you've had something in your life like a death? The anchor of that person in your life has been lifted and moved away. That's a pain. That's a loss. That's a what I would call just a horrible event. When the Lord took my dad, I was standing there and I thought, this is so unfair. This is just not fair. But that's what happened. We anchor ourselves in things, and then when those things are moved, we have to realize my anchor is only in Christ. My anchor is set in Him. So if we're so secure, how many believe that you're secure in the Lord? That should hopefully not take a crowbar to get you up, to get you moving, to get you out there. But if we're so set and secure in our anchor of hope, then we should be out there testifying, witnessing. He that winneth souls is wise. We should be out there letting people know, like Sister Penny was saying, just the Lord will instruct you to talk to someone. That's your opportunity right there to talk to someone. That's your opportunity to let that anchor of your witness down in that life. We had our modem went out, and we took our modem in. They gave us a new one, went home and plugged it in. It was still bad. So I called, and they said, well, that needs tech support. Really? Okay. So the guy comes out, and he brought the modem, and he's putting it in. And he gets up, and he says, what do you do for a living? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. Then I went, hey, that sounds kind of good. Not I'm a working pastor. I'm a pastor. And he started talking to me about, he said, you know, I would go to church. And I said, do you want me to give you a card? He said, I would go to church. But he said, I just feel like everybody that goes to church is such a phony. And I said, wow, can I give you a card? And then he said, I was saved as a child. He goes, I know the experience I had with the Lord. And I said, well, then you need to go to the house of God. I said, I really think you could be blessed by coming to Grace Christian Center. It's right over in East Bakersfield. It's not that far. Can I give you a card? And I even showed him the card I had signed by Billy Ray Cyrus when he came up and bought a puppy, just trying to get him to take a card. I was going to give him that one if he'd take it. But he said, you know what? Today, I'm just not ready. And I said, well, you know what? I know you're expecting me to shake you and push you and, you know, just get all over you. I said, but I'm not going to do that. But what I will do is pray for you, that God will convict your heart, that God will convince you that you need a relationship with Him. Our relationship with people, I don't know a lot of you here, but my relationship with you is anchored in the natural. But my relationship with you in Christ is anchored in the hope we have in Him. And someone was talking about in Christ realities. We need to learn who we are in Christ. In Him realities is what we call it. Let's learn who we are in Him. So if we have that anchor of our soul, Jesus is our hope. And if we keep hope out in front of us, that will keep our lives set in the right direction. Some people think that being anchored in Jesus means you're stuck. No, that means you're set. It means you're ready. It means you're approachable. It means that you have that love of God in your spirit. And then he says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. We can't even realize, we can't even imagine who we are really in the Lord, what He's done for us. But what it does, it gives us the incentive. My dad used to get so mad at people. They said, well, grace will just give you a license to sin. And my dad would go, that doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense. If you really honor God in your life, if you really honor the Word of God in your life, it's not a license to do whatever you want. It's a license to go out and do whatever His will is, whatever God would have us do. So when we look at this, we look back at verse 17, because are you good with the hope and the anchor of our soul? Everybody good with that? Amen. You can say amen. Amen. The anchor of our soul, that hope we have in Him. Now, there's a couple things that lead up to that anchor. And if you're not anchored in Him, if you feel like, well, I don't want to just let my anchor down, well, it's time to let our anchor up in the natural so that we can be anchored in the Spirit. That's what we need, is that anchoring. We live in California, land of fruits and nuts, mostly nuts. And in California, it is just anything goes. I know you have it back here, but this is more Bible Beltish than where we are. And it is amazing to hear the things that people come up with. You know, we call it flavor of the month. And somebody comes through town and everybody's running to this because they have the corner on the market on whatever. Well, you know, we don't deal in flavor of the month. We have a hope as an anchor. We are set in Christ. Is God revealing something fresh and alive every day? You betcha. But are we stuck in something? You know, we tell people we had a healing that happened in our church. And I said, this isn't 1940 stuff. This is current. It's current. We need this that's current. Healing occurs today. Amen? The power of God is alive today. And that's what we need to walk in. The people, I'm sure, looking back in the early 1900s, if we were in a service with Pastor Copley, we might kind of sit up a little straighter. We might even stand up for all three songs. Go figure. That's the kind of power that God has for us. But there's two things that he's saying in verse 17. There's a couple things I want to talk about, the oath and the promise. If we have the oath and the promise. How many in here are married? So you've made a vow. You lasted. This isn't cumulative years, like 3 times 17. No, this is one. 1 times 50. I had a staff that would just brag because she had been married for 36 years. Well, it was 3 times 12. She had three husbands. And she was real proud of that. And I thought, wow, okay, we'll go with the cumulative total. But to make an oath or to make a vow that's lasted 50 years, I believe these three marriages have been anchored in Jesus Christ for that length of time, for that to span that long of time. And if we didn't have Jesus in our life, people ask Pam and I, we'll be married 35 years in November. Well, what's the secret? It's no secret. It's not a mystery anymore. His name is Jesus. And if you look to Him, the author and the finisher of your faith, then that oath that you made at the altar will carry on. And I know things happen. Don't get me wrong. Things happen, and the divorce rate is about the same in the church as it is in the world. It just, things sometimes happen. But the oath that we make and the vow that we make for the Lord, that vow is anchored in Jesus Christ. And there are people that, my dad used to say they had crocodile tears when they got saved and they didn't really mean it, or it was just kind of like, you know, a fleeting moment to get you out of their face. And those things aren't really anchored. But you guys realize how much word you have that you're anchored in? Do you appreciate that word that you get, that you're anchored in? So because you're anchored in that, then it should make you come alive. That's the life-giving power of God's word. So God was more abundant. He was more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel in verse 17. Confirmed it by an oath. Confirmed it by an oath. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross, he made a vow to the world. And it landed in John 3:16. The real vow that he made on the cross ended up on the pages that are his word. And when he made that oath, he made it for me so I could be anchored in him today. So I got to have that not fleeting moment, but that forever life that is in Jesus Christ. So if you're anchored in anything else, if you've said yes to something else, and a lot of people say yes to a lot of things in the natural and anchor their life in that. And that's, you know, we see people that are career minded. We see people that have goals that are way outside the perimeter of God's word, which is fine. But to be anchored in that, God will lift that anchor to show you how anchored we are in him. Now, I have a little testimony because a couple years ago, I had a stroke and I was off work for 6 months. And we were waiting for disability to kick in. Only took 90 days. And we thought, wow, Lord. Of course, I was kind of out of it. Pam bore the brunt of all that. But I was just kind of like, yeah, we're going to trust the Lord. And people would look at me and go, you are crazy. Well, you were crazy before the stroke. We're crazy for the Lord and what he can do. And so we just have to keep trusting him. Every day, we trust the Lord. And so God met our need. And then I went back to the hospital. The first day I was back, there was this sister in the hall. She's a new employee. And she walked by and I said, hey, sister, how you doing? And she looked, she goes, hi brother. I didn't know who she was. But it opened a door to another ministry, and her brother is a pastor, and it turns out he's about 4 blocks from where we are, and it opened a door to fellowship, and I thought, Lord, you know everything from before the foundation of the world. But that was the promise by that oath that Jesus made on the cross. Now, when he makes a promise, it's a little different than when we would tell the kids when they were small, we're going to McDonald's. Well, they're in the car. Right? They're in the car. That means now. We're going now. And we meant maybe for dinner or maybe tomorrow, but the kids took it at face value. That's how we have to live in this oath we have made by Jesus Christ. I believe everything that he said he did. Penny was talking about calling those things that don't exist, that exist. Those things that are not in your life, the Bible says you're speaking wrong. Because those things that are not, the Bible says they really are. We just maybe haven't walked into them yet. Maybe we're anchored in unbelief. Oh, Pastor, you didn't say that. No, you didn't say that. I don't have any unbelief. Well, yeah, you do. We sometimes anchor in fear. And sometimes we anchor in doubt. But God wants us to anchor in him. The promises of God are yea and amen. He said that he made it by two immutable things, fixed things. Immutable means that you cannot change it no matter what you do. That gavel went down at Calvary. It is finished. That was a judicial act at the cross that we can't change, that God did in the Lord Jesus Christ. You get that? That's an amazing thing. And that cannot be changed. That is fixed. And there are two of them. Praise God. A double blessing. Not just an oath, but then he said, but there's impossible for God to lie. In verse 18, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Lord, just let this hope come to me. I'm just going to stand here. You know, sometimes you have to step toward the hope. There are things that we have to take. If my Bible laid on the coffee table and I never picked it up, all I did was move it to dust the coffee table, would that do me any good? It wouldn't do any good, would it? We have to take this word, digest it. We have to believe the oath and the promise of God. We have to believe that what he said, he will do. And those two things, the promise and the oath, are what set that hope in us. The promises of God and the hope of God set that anchor a little deeper, that spiritual anchor a little deeper. I believe God, period. I just believe him. People at home, they're saying, what are you going to do? I don't know. I'm going to believe God, period. And ministry, I told him last Sunday, I said, okay, I'm the cow because I'm chewing this and it's coming back up. And here it is again. This isn't just something that I'm telling you. This is something we've lived. And when you live it, it's different. When you experience it, it's different. Can it be challenging? Yes. But I believe in the promise, and I believe in the oath, and I believe what Jesus has done. And these two things that cannot be changed. Praise God. Finally, there's something that can't be changed. That's that anchor of that hope that's set before us. Now, Jesus, it says that he ran ahead. He ran ahead. He's paved the way. He became our machete in the jungle. He's made a way where it seemed like there couldn't be any way. And if you're at a place in your life this morning where you're thinking, wow, Pastor, that sounds good, but you just don't really know what I'm going through. I don't need to know what you're going through. I have compassion, don't get me wrong. But what you're going through can be set in anchor, the anchor of our soul. Jesus is our forerunner. You know, even on the cross, it's like that big IMAX theater at Grand Canyon. Everything, sin, sickness, disease. The Bible says even the curse of the law passed through him. He bore it all. He took it all upon himself. So here we are bearing the weight of the world. And Jesus is just kind of scratching his head going, I thought I took care of that. I thought I ransomed them out of that. I thought I saved them from all that heartache and all that fear and all that doubt. Well, if you're anchored in the natural, you're going to be afraid all the time. If you're anchored in the natural and your life revolves around everything that is natural, then you're not going to be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the hope that is set before us. I believe in that anchor of Jesus Christ. We can have that hope today because Jesus already went before us. If you want a little more confirmation, in Hebrews 7:8-19, it says, the law made nothing perfect. And we know that in itself, the law was perfect because God made it, but man couldn't keep it. And that bulldozer just ran out of gas because it just bulldozed sin ahead every year. Couldn't take it out of the way. It just pushed it ahead. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. And you know that hope that we have this morning in Jesus Christ is the anchor of our soul, the anchor that keeps me set. If you've had a storm in your life, you're anchored. If you've had the wind, maybe the tornado back here, I don't know, you're anchored. We have an earthquake in California. We're anchored because we're anchored in him. We're set in him. He says, a better hope did, by which we draw near unto God. Do you know that if you realize that God has set that anchor, fixed that anchor in us, in Christ, then we are going to have a greater hope, a better hope than we had yesterday. I pray that you have a better hope in this last half hour than you had when you came in. Anybody? Amen. That's what we need to be preaching, is the hope that is in Christ, that hope that we have. There's so many things, you know. I heard a pastor a couple of weeks ago, and it's a old black lady. She got up, and she was sick before church, and we prayed, and she got up, and she started preaching in Romans about knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. Because our salvation today is nearer than when we believed. And she said, but church, I think we've hit the snooze button. Have you hit the snooze button? We don't need to know that we're so anchored. We can just rest our way unto glory. There's something that needs to be done today. Yeah. Pastor was talking about the printing for the book of Colossians in Spanish. Wow, that gets me going. We go to the park and we start witnessing. And these guys come up and they've got, you know, tattooed on their neck things, different things. We'll leave it there. And we feed them and we minister to them and we go up to them, and my thing is, I just ask them, tell me your story. Tell me your story. What have you been through? And they're not shy. They will tell you. But you know, we had a guy that came in to the park and he was on crutches, and he came to us and said, I need this. I need this. When you're anchored in the Lord, you're just so magnetic. People see the Christ in you. And he got saved and God healed his foot. And he started coming back and he started helping us in the ministry in the park. And I thought, Lord, this is the hope that we have. This is what we need. And we need that oath set in our life. Do you believe in the promise and the oath? There's a vow that God made in Jesus Christ. He's never going to take it back. These two immutable things, it's not able for us to change. Well, Pastor, I did this and I did that. You know what? So have my kids. Do I love them? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Just the same. Can't change that. My dad used to love to preach the story of Nicodemus. Because he would always talk about, because he kind of believed in eternal life, you know, a little bit. No, a lot. And he would always talk about the story of Nicodemus. And he just loved that portion of Scripture. That you must be born again. Not again and again and again. But you must be born again. And, you know, that's the message that we have to bring hope to people today. That kid that changed our modem, I could have shook him. I could have closed my office door and locked it and said, you're not leaving until you get on your face before God. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes people just fall and say, I need Jesus. But sometimes you just got to plant the seed and let him go. But don't always think it's going to be like that. Because sometimes you might have to struggle a little bit. You might have to take some time. At home, we talk about the dirty diaper syndrome with baby Christians. Have you ever changed not just a baby's diaper, but a baby Christian's diaper? Because we want everybody to be on probation for about 50 years, and then you qualify, you know, then you can do something. But when you begin to teach and preach and you've got babies that come in, sometimes they make a mess. And today the body of Christ needs to take those babies in and say, no, this is what, God still loves you. It's okay. You know, might have to burp them a little bit. You might have to change them a little bit. But today we need to teach people the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And if we have that hope in us, I want to tell you that it's your responsibility and my responsibility to then give that hope to someone else. Give that hope to someone else. God will show us so much, and I can't wait to see what God is going to do in our lives. We looked at motorhomes. Well, maybe we could just do that. Just jump in a motorhome and, you know, go and do ministry. And the Lord kind of blocked that, like, in a heartbeat. And so we're good with that. But just wait and see. You know, that expectation is what we don't want to lose. Because hope and faith are really traveling companions. They really go together. They work well together. And so we've got to maintain that faith that we have in him. But keep that hope. That is your anchor of your soul, the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Amen.